RadioNetwork.com. Stay tuned for a live broadcast on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Stay tuned for a live broadcast on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
Everybody, you tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money. Making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and I'm here with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman. Andrew's waving. Oh boy, we're in for it today. I'm also with my esteemed producers. That would be Jack Inslee. And Carlos, the one and only. Carlos.
We're here.
One name only, Carlos.
We're awake.
Thank you, boys. All right, we're on every Thursday from 4:35. We broadcast live. We would like to hear from you during the show. We want to hear your opinions, your questions, your comments. So call us 718-497-2128. Andrew's giggling because I took his only job away. 497-2128. Call us.
And no, some guy just left the restaurant without his credit card and his cell phone. That was impressive.
He'll be back. So, and if you can't listen live while we're streaming live, we all our episodes are archived on the website, and they have podcasts available for free downloading through iTunes. So today's show is a little continuation of last week. It's about occupiers and farmers versus bankers and politicians. So there's a lot of rumbling going on out there in America. A lot of it in New York State, upstate New York and downstate in the city. We talked extensively last week about the Occupy Wall Street movement that's going on. It's in its 14th day today. And it's gaining a little momentum. It's a very small, loosely based protest. They've been sleeping down in Zuccotti Park for 2 weeks now. They have no one statement. They're kind of just discouraged with the general political and corporate rulings in land these days. And they're getting very little media coverage as opposed to other sort of small movements, such as like the Tea Party that took place a couple years ago. Fox News took them and ran with them and put them on the map. No big media company is taking any of their positions and promoting their cause the way other causes have been. And that's a big question. Why is the media really not embracing this movement? It's newsworthy.
I think because they don't have a central message, though. The Tea Party had a central message.
Well, you know, it's a very young baby organization, and it's just formulating. They have a position. There's a couple of different positions about that. The media keeps saying, well, you don't have one statement. But there are a couple of thoughts on that. There's two broad camps. They said they should have specific demands. And the other camp says, let's focus on creating a spectacle. that will create its own momentum, grow larger, and define its goals at some undetermined point in the future. So there's that going on. And the young people, and there's a few old people there, but it's mostly young people. They're saying, you know, we have all different views on this. We're unhappy with a variety of things going on, and we don't want to exclude anybody. So it's just a general, we're dissatisfied with the general condition of America today.
Andrew, did you go?
I only had a half hour, so I was unable to attend.
Yeah, we did put him on that mission, but he didn't go. I've been there a number of times.
And it's raining today.
Well, it's been raining a lot. These poor folks, they've been under some seriously awful weather.
See, I have a friend that's really, you know, into these kinds of things, mm-hmm. and he did show up, and he was disappointed in mm-hmm. how he said it was just not that great, and there were just a lot of hippies that were aimless.
Well, I got an email today from one of our listeners, Steve McMaster, who spent the night there. I think it was last night, if not last night, just very recently. He spent the night, and he's not a young, aimless hippie. He's a middle-aged guy. He thinks it's important for everybody to go down there and see what they're saying. He thought it was very impressive. It's a noisy place to be, and then at 11 o'clock it shuts down. It's a quiet zone. Everybody sleeps, or is very, very respectful of all the quiet rules, and then it buzzes again like 6 or 7. Oh, I think 8 o'clock in the morning. He thought it was really great that these young folks are out there protesting what's going, how they're being treated these days, and rightly so. I think, as I said last week, these small movements could be the beginning of, you know, later on getting bigger and larger and so forth. It has gained a little attention. As a matter of fact, this weekend, this past weekend, Saturday, I believe it was, they marched from Zuccotti Park down in Wall Street area up to Union Square, about 300 of them or something like that. I'm not sure. A few hundred people, and they gained the attention of the police. The police have been very, very visible throughout this whole protest. There's plenty of them. Now, when I was down there a few times, the police were being very polite, and the occupiers were being very polite, and everybody was being very respectful of each other's space and positions and comments. However, Saturday, when they marched up to Union Square, the police didn't handle it as well. You know, there's always that rule about marching without a permit, and, you know, that's all that legal nonsense. But there was a video of a police officer, a higher up, like a lieutenant or something, who came along and pepper sprayed four young girls who were doing absolutely nothing. Of course, the police have a different story. It was caught on camera, a number of cameras, videos, photographs. And the police say, well, they were edited and so forth. But no one seems to have a picture of what provoked the policeman to go and pepper spray these four young girls. So what's up with the police and the pepper spray? I think that one policeman might have been a rogue policeman. I really believe that. Because even the police who were talking to these young girls didn't even understand why this guy came along and did this. It's kind of bizarre. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes some people have a short fuse and they're just getting a little frustrated. What else could it be? Do you know that pepper spray is considered a lethal weapon? It's a lethal weapon. And, you know, if it gets in the hands of anybody younger than the age of 18 or something, it's against the law. So, I mean, pepper spray is serious stuff. It's not like, you know, it's just not like taking a water balloon and throwing it at somebody. You know, this is bad stuff. So
police don't usually operate with water balloons.
Well, I'm just talking. You know, their option is to beat you with a nightstick. So, you know, pepper spray.
I guess pepper spray is not that bad. Rubber bullets. I don't know. What's worse?
Well, frankly, I don't think anything warranted that behavior.
Well, you know, people don't listen to cops and cops get upset.
Yeah, we know how Andrew feels about cops. And frankly, you know, I do think that the cops have to be respectful. And I think that the majority of the cops are respectful.
No, they don't.
I think the majority of them
are. There are rules and people need to follow the rules.
Yeah.
And if you don't follow the rules, you have to be told what to do. And people don't want to be told what to do. Repercussions occur. And people get pepper sprayed.
So there's probably going to be a full investigation about the pepper spray incident.
No, the person was probably in the wrong. They probably weren't actually following the cops' instructions.
No, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. According to what I'm reading, these
young people probably got a little ahead of themselves, thought like, oh, I'm young. Have you seen the video?
Have you seen the video?
No, I haven't, but you know.
Well, you need to see the video.
But you don't know what happened prior to the video.
Well, these four girls showed up after maybe someone else came along. Hold on. I'll tell you. If you see the video, you'll see this guy
Well, that's only her video.
No.
Well, you don't know what happened to him prior to that. Maybe he spoke to someone else who upset him, and these girls upset him even further.
No, this guy wasn't even standing there. He came along from somewhere else. There were other cops standing around.
I understand.
All right. Well, if you see the video, then you'll understand why this seemed to be totally out of left field. Just check the video.
Well, you only have one portion of the video. Like did you follow that cop around until he pepper sprayed the person, or did he just show up on the people?
He just showed up on the people.
Yeah, but you don't know what happened prior to that, so maybe the cop was in right.
Andrew's defending the police.
Because the cops are right all the time.
The cops are not right, and you know that's
not true.
Okay, so Michael Moore showed up this week.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, but he's high profile.
That guy's an idiot.
It's good to get high profile. It brings publicity to your cause.
But that's bad publicity.
No, I don't believe so. He's liberal. Horrible. He's backing these people.
He shows one specific view of everything, and that's it.
He's showing that, and he's talking about the mood of the protesters. It's a populist outcry.
But how many protesters are there?
Well, there's always a few hundred there.
That's a start, true. No, it isn't.
I believe it's a start.
That's like saying people hanging out in a park is a protest.
People go to the same park,
and they hang out, like Washington Square Park. They all hang out, listen to music, hang out. Is that a protest?
No.
But they're all congregating in the same place.
But they sleep there. They haven't left.
Well, people sleep in Washington Square Park as well. No. But a lot of people do leave these things, too.
No. And they have signs.
So, the guys who stay there are holding down the protest in Washington Square Park every day.
Oh, stop it. And they have signs.
There's like a few hundred people. Who cares?
It's always a few hundred. It comes and goes. It swells after work. It swells on the weekends. And then during the week, it's a few hundred people.
They need to just give up. It's still there.
No, I don't agree with you.
I think they should.
So the media, they won't let the media box them in. They won't let them trap them. They're just going with their general positions. They have a lot of different ideas. They're disgruntled. They want to get some movement on this movement. And it's happening. It's all around the country. It's all around the world. Just as we talked about, I think it's great. And if they continue, eventually they'll start to get the media coverage that they deserve. And it can grow. And it could be something really spectacular. So that's the story on Occupy Wall Street. It's history in the making. I talked about it last week. And we're going to continue talking about it as long as it's a positive movement.
You remember the protests on the war in Iraq?
Which one?
All of them. You remember those?
No.
You don't remember?
Oh, back when Bush...
You know, back in 03,
back
04,
when Bush, 05. When Bush was putting... Yeah, yes.
How'd those work out?
Well, it didn't.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean all protests are just a waste of time.
Okay.
Some work,
the
some
Tea
don't.
Party really proves the point that this can work.
Listen.
But that's not... They didn't protest anything, Jack.
Yes, they did. That's how they started.
They were protesting...
What did they protest?
Big government.
The government, the Democratic positions.
Decidedly against big government, and then became a political party.
And even the Republican positions. And it doesn't happen overnight.
It's a slow movement.
What
did they protest?
It was about 2 or 3 years ago when little groups of people throughout the country would start to say that we got to get out of big government. And it started with little groups of people all around the country. And eventually, Fox News ran with it. They supported it. And eventually, it formed a Tea Party. So, it wasn't a Tea Party at first. It was town hall meetings. It was, we're disgusted. We don't want to be a part of this big machine anymore. Okay. And that's how it works.
I had a new idea this week. I think we should break this country up into smaller governments.
Well, then we wouldn't be the United States of America.
Maybe it's time to let it go.
I'm not sure about that idea. Did you think it through?
Well,
you mean all 50 states will be like Europe now? We're all different countries?
Well, not every state's different, but you know, maybe certain states congregate into a little union with similar ideas and likes and dislikes.
Well, I don't know about that. If you want to come back and blow it up and talk to us and see how it would work.
Well, isn't that the point of this country?
The point?
Constant revolution, change.
No, I don't think the point of this country is about freedom.
And change. Being able to change your government to represent your people.
Right.
And I think we're so fractionalized at this point that maybe it's time.
I don't think we're so fractionalized.
Are you kidding me?
I think there's some fraction. There are some fractions. But it's always been the case.
Unable to get anything done. Just my opinion.
Well, we're going to come back in a minute and we're going to talk about the farmers and how they're doing after the rain. Oh, before we go, I do want to wish our Jewish listeners a happy new year. And we'll be back in a minute and talk about the rest of them.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. You know, Buffalo Springfield wrote that song in the 60s, and it was a protest song about the young people carrying their signs and rebelling against what was going on. Gee, sounds an awful like 2011. So the protesters in Occupy Wall Street are doing it that way. Then there's another group of farmers that got flooded out with Hurricane Irene and the Tropical Storm Lee, and a lot of them were up in this area in the upstate New York and Pennsylvania and all around New England. So I recently had a conversation with my farmer up in Connecticut, and I suggested that she, because her crops were wiped out, I suggested that she goes and gets some federal disaster help from FEMA and the other agencies and help recover from this financial disaster. And her response to me was, oh, I'm not going to bother. And I said, why not? That's what the programs are for. And she said, frankly, you know, I have farmer friends that have done it in the past, and there's a ton of paperwork and tons of bureaucracy, and they got a measly few $100 or $1,200. The best he did was one of my friends got $1,200. And I just would rather spend my time fixing my fields and working on my farm. And I said, well, I don't agree with you. You know, that's what disaster aid is all about. It's for people who come into these terrible situations and they lose everything. And, you know, the whole point of a disaster recovery program is to get money back into, say, the farmer's hands or the business person's hands or the homeowner and have them spend it again to keep it going into the economy. And she said, yeah, I understand. I'll think about it. Well, after that, I looked into what was available to these farmers from this recent terrible flooding that they went through. After today's rain, I think it's going to be more flooding. It hasn't stopped raining around here in months. And what I found was, not surprisingly, I was disappointed, but I wasn't so surprised, that FEMA money is pretty much dried up. Well, we've had a ton of disasters this year. Hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, fires, droughts, tons and tons. Most states in the country have had some sort of major disaster happen. And they claim, the Republicans claim there's no such thing as climate change, right? What's all going on with all this weather?
You can't claim one has anything to do with the other.
Oh, come on. You don't think climate change is real?
We had a rainy season.
We had droughts. We had floods. We had fires. They were all weather related, all of them.
We've had earthquakes and tornadoes.
Yeah, tornadoes are weather related.
And earthquakes.
Earthquakes. I don't know what to make of that. That could be weather related too. I don't know. Anyway, so I looked into it, and you know what I found? I found that FEMA is pretty much run out of money because they have gone out and aided so many different people this year. in the various disasters. And so there's no more money for the flood victims, the most recent victims, which are the ones upstate and in Pennsylvania. And so I looked into it and I found that the usual dickering around in Washington is going on. The Republicans and the Democrats are fighting. You want us to fund more money for FEMA. You got to find some cuts from somewhere else because we're not going to keep giving FEMA more money. And I looked at this and I said, this is nuts. This is what FEMA is for. They're supposed to help these people who run into these hard times. But then another side of me said, frankly, aren't these people supposed to insure their properties? And is the government really in the insurance business now? Or what should the government, what position should the government take on this? Andrew's not even talking.
Well, I've said everything already.
About FEMA and the government?
Insurance, governments, everything.
I didn't hear
insurance
you.
Is overrated. Governments don't do anything. I don't know how many different ways to express my opinion on these things.
So I thought that, well, I have mixed feelings. I do believe that you should insure your property. And
overrated.
If you don't have
insurance.
And if you don't have insurance. Yeah, I'm not crazy
just
about
like insurance
companies.
They're all overrated.
Okay. But, you know, these people, some people don't have any insurance. Some people have some form of insurance and some people. But the point is, if you don't have insurance, you default, go to the government to bail you out. Now, okay, so they have this program and people kind of got used to it. It's more social welfare going out to the government and getting money from them. But if the program's in place and now you're going to fight over it and say, okay, you got to fund the program or find some cuts to fund this program. We're not giving you any more money. And these people are held out there to dry, hung out there to dry. That's not fair. So lo and behold, there's all this going on down in Washington this week about funding FEMA, and the fiscal quarter ends tomorrow. So they threatened with some more government shutdowns October 1st. And so today, this morning, the Senate and the Congress managed to come to some sort of agreement, find some money, and fund FEMA and not shut the government down on October 1st. Boy, is this reminiscent of the nonsense we went through with the debt ceiling nonsense over the summer. And the next step of this is they have to find more money or there'll be another government shutdown November 18th. This is really getting to be BS. And you know what I'm really getting pissed off about now? I'm getting pissed off that the Congress and the Senate are spending all this time, all this energy on threats and keeping the government afloat or shutting it down rather than deal with the issues, some of the issues that we really have. They're expending way too much energy and probably way too much funds on this nonsense. So it's time for Washington to get with the program. And Obama, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he can do. I don't know what he's doing. It's just a sad state of affairs that this is affecting everybody in some form or another. So the farmers, they didn't protest. They didn't occupy any place. They went ahead and said, okay, government, you're not going to give me any money. I'll take matters into my own hands. And they're having fundraisers all over the place on their farms.
Don't forget to pay taxes on that.
On the fundraisers?
They're not 501c3s.
That's true. Okay, well, they will. They'll pay taxes on it. The money that they raise.
Oh, that's brilliant.
The money that they'll raise.
That makes sense. That really. That's
well,
33%
pay.
Goes right back into
no,
the government.
No. But no, understand. They're
does?
Not 501c3. So the money that they raise, suppose they raise $10,000.
Like
hold on. It's income. And then they offset it against their expenses. They're still way in
what
the hole.
What expenses do they have?
All the money that they're going to use, the expenses they're going to use the money for. They're going to build fences. They're going to buy more seed. They're going to.
But that's all depreciable assets. They're
no. Buying seed. No. So anyway, they'll get to write it all off. It's not a tax issue at this point. These people.
So to survive.
These people will have losses greater than what they're raising funds for. Really? They're having fundraisers. So Andrew's really not into this today. Andrew's really a naysayer today. We're just going to go on and say, tell you what the farmers are doing. They're having all sorts of farm meals, raising money through their supporters, people who support their farms, and they are using obviously the internet, and they're raising more money than they ever dreamed possible. They're having parties on their farms to bring people who believe in their farms and their businesses, and people are being extremely generous, and it's a wonderful outpouring to support these people who were left holding the bag because the government's not doing it for them. So they have DJ is spinning. They're selling CDs. They're selling T-shirts. They're having pig roasts. And they're doing all sorts of great things. And the community is behind them. You know, the difference is in the city, generally speaking, the city people will support a charity through an organized charity. Where in the rural areas, people are more likely to support each other and help in any way they can. Whether they want to, remember the old barn building? They would all come out and put the barn up in one day and support each other. So that's what's going on throughout the country, throughout the rural country. The farmers are not going to sit and wait for Washington to give them a handout. They're going to take matters in their own hands. They're entrepreneurial and they're doing a great job. And the people are very happy to help them because there is, you know, they've got to find a way to get around the lousy treatment that the government is treating the public today. So we have occupiers, we have farmers who are taking matters into their own hands in totally different ways. It's very, very, very interesting. Okay, Drew. So what do you think? Drew's not talking.
I still think I shouldn't pay taxes.
You should pay?
I shouldn't pay taxes. Because my money's not going where it needs to go.
Right.
What's the point? What's the point? What do we have to do?
You know, I have a...
have to pay for other people instead of government actually doing it. So people who are getting paid at FEMA, they still get paid.
I know.
He's still getting his paycheck ahead of FEMA.
Yeah.
But they're out of money.
Yep.
So he's not doing anything for the last quarter of the year, and he's still getting paid.
Right.
Why is that built into the budget?
Well, maybe you should go Occupy Wall Street and get some changes.
But that Wall Street's not going to change the government.
No, but the Occupy Wall Street's just not about Wall Street. Occupy Wall Street is about
I have to pay my taxes and my bills. I need a job. So I have to keep working.
Well, you're doing that.
But the government isn't working.
Right.
They're not doing anything. They sit around and talk to each other
right.
and do nothing but complain to each other about how we're running out of money, we're not doing anything, we need to cut spending. We need to do these things. So they sit around and talk about it, don't do anything, and then they say we're going to shut down government. I think I'm missing something. I'm missing the step. I'm missing a step.
Well, why don't you start a protest? Your own protest.
For what?
Or why don't you come up with a plan to actually take some action so you can get some changes done? So some changes will happen. If you're just going to sit here on the radio and complain each week and not do anything about it after you leave here, then, you know, then if
my problem, I have to work. Well, I have to keep working.
People are working. Farmers are working. They're still working. Okay? Those occupiers, some of them
They're throwing parties. They're throwing parties and inviting their friends over to give them money.
It's work. They're doing work. And they're taking the money and they're going to fix their properties. That's the whole point of it.
See, my thing is, and I agree with Andrew, because
we lost his mic.
I think where Jack's going is...
We have jobs, and it's 2011, so there's no reason that you can't get this collective voice through an internet kind of petition sort of thing, you know?
We don't have to sit around.
Listen, why don't you employ young people who have jobs, who have the access to
the internet?
I think,
Jack, we have to start a website.
You have to start doing another way.
Stop paying taxes now.
Okay. Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
.org. You put your slogan... It's no taxation without representation. It's 1776 all over again.
That's right.
That's all it really is.
Right.
And how have in 225 years,
right.
335 years.
There are 300 years.
335 years. 330, no. It's
200.
200. I was right. Why are you telling me I'm wrong? 235 years, we have lost the message. In 235 years, we have lost the message of representing the people and
I think it's
representing our liberties.
I think it's wonderful that you feel so strongly about it.
But at this point,
I think you should partner up with some people who know how to take your passion and put it into action. You have to come up with a way to get this voice heard by the people who can and actually make
so
changes.
What's wrong with my concept of no taxation without representation?
Well, it's fine while you sit in that yellow chair.
No. I'm just saying in general. Like, why do I have to keep paying taxes if they're not actually representing me still?
Okay, so start a revolution, a tax revolution.
Okay.
Start a tax revolution. So we'll be back next week, and Andrew's
going to... What, that's it? I'll have a website up by next week.
Yeah, okay. Andrew's going to start a tax revolution. I'm really curious. I'll be one of the first petitioners on there, okay? I look forward to hearing from you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. This is a message from Fork and Anchor. Aaron Fitzpatrick, the host of our wine program, Unfiltered, is looking for help on Kickstarter to open Fork and Anchor, a general store inspired by two food-loving ladies with an equal affection for urban life, the sea, and the agricultural paradise of Long Island's North Fork. The store is situated in a growing community of farmers and winemakers and will become a meeting place offering prepared foods, a variety of sun-dries, and a selection of homespun products, many of which will have their origins in New York State. Your backing will help them fulfill their dream of fostering relationships with the community and making the local food system accessible on a broader scale. Search Kickstarter.com for Fork and Anchor and donate today.